And for the rest of us, I invite you to join me in Ruth chapter 2 today. If you'd like to join in open up a Bible, if you brought one, great. If you didn't, there's some in the pews. If you want to use it on your phone, that's totally fine. However you'd like to be a part of that. It's been a couple weeks since we started this, so let's do a quick review so that we're all caught up on the chick flick of the Bible, of where we are now. I know that probably catches some off guard, but that's what this kind of really is in some ways. It's a story of an ordinary family that was in Bethlehem and is a family of four, and they enter into a time of famine in their country and homeland, in the city of Bethlehem. And after we don't know how long of time, Dad says, well, it's got to be better somewhere else, and rationalizes some different things, and they head off 50 miles to Moab. And they do this in spite of the fact that God had already said, do not go to Moab. But we don't know all that went on in his mind about why he did it, but he takes it, rationalizes it to himself and says, we're going to go, and they leave. And at some point, you know, seeking all this blessing, it's got to be better there. It's got to be, you know, it's the grass is greener on the other side of the fence kind of thing. Well, we don't know how long they're in Moab, but Dad dies. And it seems fairly soon after the son, two sons die. So all of a sudden, Naomi's by herself, except for in this time, the two sons had married Moabite women. Again, this is prohibited under God's ruling and God's care. But Naomi and her two daughters, she says, I'm going back to Bethlehem because they've heard that the famine is over. Again, realization that the grass isn't always greener on the other side. So she begins this trek, and she turns to her two daughter-in-laws and says, you know, you need to just not adhere to me anymore. You need to just go back to Moab, remarry, have families, enjoy life. And one of them eventually says, okay. But Ruth makes this vow. A declaration of loyalty beyond loyalty. I mean, even past death. Because she says, I'll be buried where you are buried. You will be my people. Your God will be my God. And it becomes a moment of salvation in this step as they enter and leave leave Moab and head to Bethlehem. And they return to Bethlehem, and so as far as we know, they're homeless, hopeless, and hurting. I mean, the burden is heavy, and that's just chapter one. It's a story filled with heartbreak. But the good news is chapter one is over, that we're turning a page. And as we enter into chapter two, and I don't know who this needs to hear this morning, in this part specific, but I truly believe that God can turn the page in your story. Maybe you've been stuck for a long time in what feels like in chapter one of your life. Through whatever reasoning, I don't know what's going on. But you can find that as you turn and you adhere your life to God and you discover the good news when you leave Moab and you go to Bethlehem. Because when you turn from Moab and you find blessings in Bethlehem of your life. And so they arrive in Bethlehem, and the ladies, you know, they start talking, it says in chapter 1. I mean, the word's going around. It doesn't take long. It's only a town of about 200 people. So the chit-chat's going on. But there's a very important detail in the last verse of this passage of chapter 1. It says that it was time to harvest the barley. Remember, the very beginning of chapter 1 is it's famine. It's destitute. There's no hope. Now they're going to harvest. And so they've returned to this. And as we dive into chapter 2, it's kind of a setup for us to understand a little bit of what's going. It says, verse 1, "Now Naomi had a relative of her husband on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." So right away, the author's giving us insight into what's coming ahead, even before we meet Boaz. And this is significant. It says that he's a man of standing. The Hebrew would say, it says more literally, is he's a man of valor, a mighty warrior. But what, in all reality, the various commentators in the study of what it's trying to, they're trying to say, is that he's a man of internal strength. He's a man of character. He's a man of integrity. And in fact, what's interesting is while they declare Boaz this man of standing, this man of valor, in chapter 3, Boaz will declare Ruth to be a woman of valor. So Boaz is a man of standing, and he's an extended relative, which really plays importantly into the story. Verse 2, "Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the field and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor.'" Now, Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." And this is important. This is more than just something to do. What Ruth is proposing is, "I'm going to go gleaning. I'm going to glean from the field." And it's the practice of going into a recently harvested field and picking up whatever grain was left over, but it's more, at the same time, it's more than about sloppy harvesting, because it's not about that. In fact, God instructed the Israelites in Leviticus chapter 9 to be a part of this process so that God can help and the people can help provide for the poor, the widowed, or the lame. And so what would happen is you were harvesting, you wouldn't harvest the very edges of the field. But it even went beyond that, because not only are you not harvesting the edges of the field, if you missed anything, you didn't go back and pick up that grain. If while you were harvesting and you're carrying this grain out, you dropped anything, you didn't pick it up. They did this so that those that needed it, the poor, the widow, the orphan, any of those can come back behind them as they've harvested and pick those up and be able to be provided for. And it says in verse 3 so she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, another version says it this way, "It just so happened that she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz." So she heads to one of the several fields, and it just happens to be Boaz's. Now, we as readers know who Boaz is. Ruth does not. So when you read that, understand that it's bringing up a major theme within this story. It's the providence of God, that God is at work in the midst of his people and through his people. Another way of just saying it is, it just so happened. Because when you look at the book of Ruth, you notice there are no supernatural miracles of God. There's no burning bush, there's no parting of the Red Sea, there's no voices from heaven, and yet what we do find throughout is the way that God works throughout this story as he uses and works within his people. And within caring provision, guides them in their journey as they respond to him. Romans 8:28 says it like this, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. That both in the good things and in the bad things, in the highlights and in the struggles, that God continues to be in the work of his people. And that as we respond, as we work and respond to his love, that we can find God in the midst. So she just happens to be working in the field of a man named Boaz. Now remember that they're coming out of a time of famine. Everybody is struggling. There's no guarantee that anybody is going to let her, even though it's in Leviticus 19, we all have choices, right? We all can adhere our lives or choose not to adhere our lives to what God has said for us to do. It always works out best when we do. But the workers didn't have to let her glean from any field. They could have harvested the entire thing and say, mine. But they didn't. They've let her glean. And so the harvester has made this decision to follow God's rules in life. But it's not just about Ruth being a widow. Because remember, she's got a lot of labels upon her. She's a Moabite. She's an outsider. Things are not going well for her. And yet, there's always a plot twist that in a chick flick, right? You have to. And so we find what happened in the midst of her lowest. She's an outsider trying to figure her way around a new place, a new culture, new people. Well, Naomi knows people. She grew up there, but Ruth does not. And so she's trying to figure out what's going on and how to work it. And she's just picking up leftovers. She's trying to scrape by. And so enters the handsome hero. Now, we don't really know if he was handsome, but we like, because, you know, this is a chick flick, so we like to think of him as very dashing. And so she just happens to be working in this field that Boaz owns. She's being responsible. She's working. She's doing what she needs to do. And verse 4 tells us, just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters, "The Lord be with you." Now, I tried to research this a little bit. It's not something that just everybody said. It's not just something flippantly that we should just pass by. He was intentional as he greeted his workers. We see Boaz coming into this field as a leader. He's kind to his workers. He's intentional about talking about the Lord. The Lord bless you. We would do well to speak this way when we encounter people. And I love this about Boaz. He's not a priest. He's not a prophet. He's not a pastor. And yet he understands he has a ministry. This is his mission field. His fields of harvest are his fields of ministry. And which reminds us that you don't have to be in full-time ministry to understand that you are in full-time ministry. You don't have to have some kind of title or work for a nonprofit or go to some foreign country to understand that you are a missionary on behalf of God. Right where you are. Let the way that you live and the way that you talk preach the gospel fully. Let the way you orchestrate and go about life define the gospel as people watch. Let its importance in your life shine through. So he's just an ordinary business owner who's letting the light and love of God shine through. And while he's serving God, he just happens to notice Ruth. And he asks his foreman, who does that young woman belong to? Now, for our younger people, this is how we did it back in the day. Before there were online profiles to kind of find out about the person, we would just ask. You know, ask a buddy, you know, hey, what's her story? Who, you know, what family, you know, different things. And then you hem-hawed around and got up the courage to ask her on a date. But that's not in this story right now. But so we would ask, what's going on? He's asking, the foreman says, well, she's the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. Now remember, in chapter 1, verse 19, it says that the entire town knows that Naomi is back and that she's brought her widowed daughter-in-law. People know. So let's recognize that all these labels are being provided and applied here. She's a Moabite, which means everybody knows she's from a forbidden people group. She's known to have worshipped a false god by virtue of being a Moabite. She's widowed. She's likely homeless. She's destitute. I mean, she's picking grain from the ground or wherever she can get, just trying to get the little morsels that she can. And she, not only that, she comes with a mother-in-law. Now, that's not a ding on any of our mothers, mother-in-laws here, ladies. Let's just say that she has a complicated past. But she didn't let her past or the labels that were being applied to her define her future. Which is a great reminder for all of us. Don't let your past talk you out of God's plan for your future. Some of you right now are saying to yourself, well, I can't because I... But remember, all of us, Josh did a great job reminding us this last week that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. We have all walked in paths of sin at one point or another. We've all made errors against what God has called us to do and to be. But while some on the outside may try to tell you that it disqualifies you, understand, God is the one that's making the decision. God is calling us. Don't let your past talk you out of what God is calling for you to do in the present and in the future. So the foreman continues. He says, she said to me, please, and she asked, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. And not only did she ask, she went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a very short rest in the shelter. So Ruth is living out in a way that she stands out. People are taking notice that she's different. And so you see this, all of a sudden, Boaz, a man of standing, is looking at this woman and who he now knows is part of his extended family. He knows who Naomi is. He was very likely at her wedding. He knows what's going on behind, and he knows within all of this. And so now he knows what, you know, that he has some certain responsibilities. And so he notices some things that stand out in the midst of, as Ruth is living right now, in the midst of this, that goes beyond the labels that others have tried to assign her. First of all, she's faithful to God. She's here. She turned away from her past and everything that she knew and to even the false god to serve the God of Israel. She made that vow. She's loyal to her family. Again, she left everything that she knew to be with Naomi. The other daughter-in-law made the other choice and went back to Moab. She took what was at that point the easy decision. The easy road, as the New Testament would say, the wide road. But Ruth makes the sacrificial decision to stay with Naomi and to go to Bethlehem, into the unknown. And it doesn't say that she knows that she's going to stay in Bethlehem. She just knows she's going there at that point, that she will always be with Naomi. Another thing we notice is that she's a hard worker. She's not waiting around for someone to meet her needs. Nor is she crying about it as if she's some victim. She's up early and gleaning in the field. And finally, she honors God morally. A lot of widows during that time, especially young widows, were often forced into prostitution in order just to survive. But she refuses to do that. She refuses to go that way, so she's instead working hard and sweating it out in the heat of the day. And these qualities still stand out in the midst of our world, because if you want something different, you need to be something different. I've said it before, what's normal in our world obviously isn't working. As followers of Christ, as his followers, we need to live differently. We need to have a noticeable difference in the way we live. So we honor God. We are faithful to people. We're hard workers. And we live and honor God by living in a way that's pleasing to him morally. And the text goes on to tell us in Boaz's response. He looks at her and he finds out her story. He knows who she is. He knows all the different parts. She still doesn't. That's the fun part of this. She just knows the guy owns the field. And he says in verse 8, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. And don't miss this. I have told the men not to touch you. And wherever you are thirsty, whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars that the men have filled." This is not a normal practice for those that are gleaning. He's going in above and beyond, and he's protecting her, and he's caring for her needs. And then he tells her that he knows some of her story in the way he responds, because he essentially prays a blessing over her in verse 12. He says, "May the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." And so we find some things in Boaz that are noticeable as well. Important things in how he treats Ruth. First of all, he honors her. And I know it sounds, you know, for some as old-fashioned, but ladies, you want someone that honors you. Honors you who you are. But he also protects her. He's going to protect her from ungodly men physically. But he also wants to protect her heart and her purity as it stands now. He provides for. He's incredibly generous in how he responds. Not just the water, but later in a mealtime, he goes above and beyond. And not only that, he prays for her. We all need someone who prays for us. Because we need the power and presence of God in our life. And men, these are traits that we should be continuing to develop in our own life. And dads, this is what we need to raise our boys. And to be men that are like Boaz, who live differently because they honor God in every aspect of their life. It says at mealtime, Boaz told her, "Come over here." Now remember, all the other gleaners, they've kind of been kept outside. They haven't been stopped, but they haven't been invited in. And he says, "Come over here, have some bread, dip it in the wine vinegar." And when she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. And she ate all that she wanted and had some left over. She had some to take home to Naomi. Don't overlook that last sentence, because we serve a God who does exceedingly and abundantly more than all that we could ever ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in the midst of his people. And I told somebody this is kind of part one of part two within chapter two. We'll go on next in a couple weeks here with this. But I want to pause and I really want to point out and slow this down this morning. What we've seen in this story. Because once again, I want to remind us, all of us are a lot like Ruth. I mean, think about her story. The labels that she's had put upon her. We've all been labeled at one point or another in our lives. She was a Moabite. She had sinned against God. In a very similar way, we're all Moabites in one way or another, because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Like her, we've all come empty-handed with nothing to offer. Everything good that she had at this moment would be given to her in the same way that everything good we have is gleaned from the goodness of a God of love, mercy, and grace. And Boaz blessed Ruth with more than she ever expected, and our God continues to bless us more than we could ever deserve and respond as we respond to him. His grace continues to cover our sins. His power has the ability and capability and has made us new. His peace goes beyond our human ability even to understand. And I want you to notice, Boaz invites Ruth to his table in the same way that Jesus invites us to the table, where he offers bread and wine. His body, his blood, sacrificed on our behalf. So that no matter what your past is like, you can be made new. That we can have a fresh start. That we can live into the blessings that God continues to provide each and every one of us. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward this morning.